Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
This is a horrible human being.
So glad you could join me. And it's always great to hear from you guys. And so I thought I would start out today's show with a little Rockcast feedback.
Wow.
You guys had a lot to say about the last episode, including Sean McClure, who said, "Awesome show, Monty. I hope to hear more of the Are You Serious segment. It was incredibly original and had me on the edge of my seat. The Trying to Be Cool song was amazing. Boy, does that sound right." Well, thanks, Sean. Yeah, apparently a lot of you guys could relate to that song, including Scott Gibson, who said he was bullied in high school, as well as Eric in Georgia, who said, "The high school memories are flooding me right now and how I hated it." And James Nelson also said, "That Firefly song was awesome. Glad you played it. I love discovering bands I have never heard of. Powerful song." Well, that is really cool. I'm so glad you guys like that song. And it was funny because I wasn't really sure if I should play the song or not because it's, it's a ballad and it's like 6 minutes long. But then I thought, nope, you know, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's just such a beautiful melody. I'm going to do it. And now that I know a lot of you appreciated it, well, I'm glad I did it.
That's very bold of you.
In other emails, Rockcast Hall of Famer Brady Jennings wrote to say, "Always excited to hear a new Rockcast. As always, thank you for the time and effort you put into these things, Monty. Pure gold."
It is comically stupid.
However, all the feedback wasn't as good. I got another email from another Rockcast Hall of Famer, Stephen Hines. And Stephen wrote to tell me that he's actually had to take a break from listening to my show for a while. Why? Well, because he doesn't really care for my conservative points of view.
Right-wing kook!
Stephen, who is a school teacher, doesn't know why I think that our public schools have a liberal agenda that they're forcing onto our kids, because in his situation, that is certainly not the case. Well, I'm glad to hear that's the deal with you, Stephen, because maybe there's hope. But I know with my stepkids, they've been coming home from school with ideas that I certainly didn't teach them. And to give you an example of what I see going on out there, I saw this thing on Facebook the other day about this kid that went to school and the teacher asked the class, "What is your favorite animal?" And the kid answered, "Fried chicken," and she sent him to the principal's office. And so the kid goes home and tells his dad what happened, and his dad said, "Well, your teacher's probably in PETA, so watch what you say." And so the kid goes back to school the next day, and the teacher says, "What's your favorite live animal?" And the kid says, "A chicken." And the teacher says, "Okay, why?" And he says, "Because you can make fried chicken out of it." To which she sent him back to the principal's office again. He goes home, tells his dad says, "Don't do that again." Kid goes back to school the next day and the teacher says, "Who is a famous person that you admire most?" Kid says, "Colonel Sanders." Hey, the kid was just being honest, but I think you know what happened next.
Now, obviously, this is one of those stories that probably never took place.
So Stephen and I do not agree about the public school system. But he's also grown weary of my political rants, and he doesn't believe that Colin Kaepernick is a douchebag.
That's right.
Well, first of all, Stephen, I'm sorry I ran you off for a while with my political talk, but it's funny because I haven't even talked politics for, like, months on this show. I mean, I haven't even mentioned what a criminal that Hillary Clinton is, nor have I said that I'll be voting for Donald Trump to keep Hillary out of office. But as far as Kaepernick goes, well, yeah, I probably shouldn't have called him a douchebag. I should have instead called him a misinformed idiot.
I think that's a bit excessive.
But does he have a right to speak his mind? Well, absolutely, just like I do. And thank God for the people who have fought for those rights and our freedom. And when I go to a ball game and stand up for the anthem, part of the reason is to pay my respect to those people. But hey, that's just me. We've all got our different opinions, and I love you, Mr. Hines. But once in a while, I just can't help myself, and I've got to speak my mind.
Shut up, you stinking pile of crap!
In other feedback, Phil Robinson said he loved the total breakdown I did of Mr. Magnet on episode 178. And he said, don't worry about Mr. Magnet not being heavy. I love it just the way it is. A catchy pop song with heavy guitars and sweet vocal harmonies. And speaking of vocal harmonies, did you guys each have a specific part you always stuck to? And did anyone in the band understand the theory and mechanics of harmonies, or did you just sing what sounded good? And did you sing together in the studio, or was it all done separately?
Is it unreasonable to ask these questions?
Well, Phil, in Galactic Cowboys, I don't remember any of us ever bringing up the word theory. We mainly just picked out parts that fit our vocal range. And what we would usually do would be start with a melody, and it would either be Ben or myself singing that melody. And if it was Ben, I'd get a harmony with him, or if it was me, he'd harmonize with me. And once we had that, either Alan or Dane would start working in their parts. And to get those third and fourth harmonies in there, we'd usually have to sit down with a guitar and just pick out the individual notes. As far as in the studio, we usually lay those individually. If Ben's singing the lead vocal, then he'll go in and do all his parts first, and then I usually go in next, and then you just kind of build them from there.
It's just all so incredibly interesting, isn't it?
I also got an email from Nathaniel Bear, who said, hey, Monty, I'm so hyped for the new GC album. I've been listening to Space in Your Face over and over again all week long. It's just so perfect. It's really heavy, but at the same time, the vocals are really great too, unlike the usual screamy, growly stuff found in most heavy songs. I was just wondering if you could suggest a band or two that have the best of both worlds like GC.
That is a very good question.
Well, Nathaniel, that's a very good question.
Yes, it is.
One of the problems we had back in the early 90s when we were doing the first couple of albums is that nobody else really sounded like us. And so we were hard to categorize, and it was hard to find anybody to tour with. And we opened up a lot for King's X, and yeah, they had the vocal harmonies and they were kind of heavy, but we were a lot more thrash. And I challenge anybody to find me a band who was doing four-part harmonies with thrash riffs. So I can't think of a lot of bands that sound like Galactic Cowboys, but there are some bands that I like.
Can you name one?
Stuff like We Came as Romans and Crown the Empire. They've got some really great harmonies, but they do have screaming.
We don't want it. We don't like it.
But outside of that, you might want to check out Saigon Kick or maybe the Wild Hearts.
I'm not into that.
But really, my best advice is if you want something that'll crush your skull with a lot of harmonies, you might want to go to my website, MontyColvin.net, and pick yourself up a copy of Loserville by my solo project, Crunchy.
Absolute genius!
Which, by the way, I will throw in for free with an order of a Rockcast t-shirt if ordered before Christmas of 2016.
Commercial's over.
In other Rockcast feedback, I was not really surprised that I heard from a lot of people, like Chris Archer, who said that they just love Jellyfish.
It's incredible.
Oh, yes, Jellyfish. Very underrated, very underappreciated. They should have been huge.
It's not fair.
I know.
They used to be my favorite band.
But it's like you King's X fanatics. Good God, people, I get it. They were a great band and they should have been huge. But how about you get over it and just enjoy their music? It's not like they didn't have opportunities. King's X opened for Pearl Jam on a tour, and they did arenas with AC/DC and the Scorpions. And I gotta say, that must have been awesome, so don't feel too sorry for them.
You know what, that's enough. This is depressing.
But yeah, Jellyfish. Glad you like that stuff. And if you're into that kind of thing, you might want to check out a band called The Grays. It was a project that Jason Faulkner, the guitar player for Jellyfish, did after he left Jellyfish. And I just listened to this today for the first time in a long time, and I forgot how good it was.
I'll be out on the town in the jacket you bought me after dragging me down in the trouble you brought me. And I'll be doing the same things, running around with a fat fish, something doing.
I personally like this album better than I did the Jellyfish stuff. And if you're into that whole Beatles Badfinger vibe and you don't have this album, you might want to go try and find it. Cool production, I love the vocals, and some really good songwriting. So that was the Grays and some rock cast feedback. And like I said, that was a band that Jason Faulkner was in after he left Jellyfish. And strangely enough, the other day I'm watching a concert on the AXS channel, and it was Beck. And I'm looking at his band, and all of a sudden I go, hey, that's Jason Faulkner on guitar, and that's Roger Manning from Jellyfish on keyboards. And so if you've been wondering what those guys have been up to, well, they're playing with Beck. I, on the other hand, have not been wondering what the guys in Jellyfish have been up to. However, I have been watching some stuff on TV.
What?
Yeah, shocking, I know. Most people probably think I'm more of a reader.
No one thinks that.
But no, I like to watch TV, and so how about we do another segment of What's on TV? I mentioned Axis TV, AXS on your cable channel, and they play quite a few concerts on there, and I've seen some good interview shows, and I've also seen some documentaries here lately. Some good, some not so good, and one that I was kind of disappointed in was called Iron Maiden Behind the Beast.
Iron Maiden?
And it was basically a film about what goes on behind the scenes of an Iron Maiden tour. And that sounds good, right?
Excellent!
Yeah, I thought so too, but it was a lot of interviews with the tour manager and stuff like that. And as fascinating as it is that Bruce Dickinson flies the plane that they're touring in, I found myself getting really bored. However, a documentary that did not disappoint me was called Gone with the Wind, The Remarkable Rise and Tragic Fall of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm not what you'd consider a huge Skynyrd fan, but this movie was really interesting, had me riveted through the whole thing. And I thought I knew a lot about Skynyrd going in, but I actually learned a lot. I always looked at them as kind of a guitar band, but I didn't realize how much Ronnie Van Zant wrote and was kind of the leader of that band. And I've always loved Alan Collins. He was such a great guitar player and such a cool rock star. But until I saw this documentary, I didn't realize what a big role that Ed King had played in that band and what a great player he was.
Well, duh!
I also did not know that they actually got their big break by opening for The Who on the Quadrophenia tour. And that sounds like a really strange matchup now. I mean, it's like Southern rock with The Who, really? But no, that must have been awesome. And that was the great thing about the 70s. Nobody cared. It's not like now where all the bands have to sound exactly the same to be in a concert together. I mean, back in my day, it was just all rock and roll and we liked it. In 79, I saw UFO open for the Outlaws and it kicked ass. And around that same time, I saw Loverboy open for Kansas, and well, that was kind of weird.
It sure was.
Well, then again, back then, you know, everyone was doing drugs, and all the rock stars ended up being alcoholics, so there was that. And the guys in Skynyrd definitely had their share of vices and problems. And I'll never forget the day that I heard their plane went down and it killed several of them. And of course, being that I was a teenager at that time, my only thought was kind of, ah, dang, that's going to end that band. We'll never hear anything from them again, and boy was I wrong. It's 2016, and they're still chugging along.
Really?
Well, kind of. I mean, Gary Rossington's still in the band, so there you go. But Lynyrd Skynyrd were definitely a bunch of badasses and made some great music. And if you're into them at all, or even if you're not into them, check that film out.
Okay.
Another band that probably should have hung it up a long time ago was Motley Crue. But when they finally did it and decided to cash in one last time, they filmed the last show and they called it, what was it?
The End.
Oh, that's right, The End. And it was Motley Crue's last concert, and fittingly, they did it in L.A. And as concert movies go, it was all right. They did all their hits and there were some great live shots. But my favorite part of this whole thing were the interview segments that they did with the band that they put in between the songs. And my favorite ones were with Tommy Lee. Because he's just sitting there. He looks so out of it, like he's been run through the ringer. And the interviewer asks him, why are you guys quitting? Why now? And he kind of hesitates, like he's never been asked that question and he's never even thought about that. And he just kind of goes, it's mainly, I'm just so sick of playing these songs. And I thought, I know what you mean, Tommy, because we're kind of sick of hearing them. If playing Dr. Feelgood every night is anything like hearing Dr. Feelgood every day of your life, I know what you mean.
Kill me!
Now, a band that I've never gotten sick of is Blue Oyster Cult, and believe it or not, they're still around. And I saw a cool show about them on the Audience channel. And it was one of those deals where the band was playing live in the studio, and then in between songs, they talked to the band, and I was really surprised how good it was. They had this guy named Stryker asking the questions, and it was actually really kind of informative. They talked about the beginnings of the band, they talked about the whole laser thing and how that came about. And I kind of figured I would enjoy that part of it, but what surprised me was how good they sound.
How can this possibly be?
Of course, they've got two or three new guys that weren't part of the original lineup, but one of them was Kasim Sultan on bass. And if you don't know who he is, he used to be in Utopia with Todd Rundgren. And the guy is one of my favorite singers of all time, and man, does he sound awesome on background vocals.
Imagine that!
In fact, all the vocals sounded great, and the cool thing was is that they did the whole Agents of Fortune CD all the way through.
Think about that! I'm a
And so if you're a big BOC fan like I am, definitely try and find that. Maybe you can locate it on demand or something. It was just called Audience Music with Blue Oyster Cult.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
Another show I saw on the AXS channel was an interview by Dan Rather with Gene Simmons. And I know a lot of people get all upset at stuff that Gene says, and a lot of people just think he's a rich a-hole. But Gene openly admits that he's a rich a-hole, and I have no problem with that. And I also have a lot of respect for him. He's a very savvy businessman. He had a lot of interesting opinions. And one thing that I liked a lot that he had to say was, inspiration is very overrated. And I could totally relate to that when it comes to songwriting. I've been writing songs now for over 30 years, and I don't think I've ever had writer's block. I don't wait around to be inspired. I just pick the guitar up and start playing and working. And some things turn out to be not so good, and other things turn out to be really good. And so no matter what it is that you're doing in life, stay persistent and attack it with a passion. And that, my friends, is your 2 cents of advice from Uncle Monty.
I don't care about any of it.
So that's some of the stuff I've been watching on TV. But how about I read some top 10 lists?
Please, God, no.
Well, all right.
Don't do any more.
These are top 10s that you, the listeners, have sent in to me. And if they're really good, I read them on the show. And if they're really, really good, then you may make it into the top 10 playoffs, where you will be eligible for an amazing prize package.
This is so stupid. Do we have to overhype everything?
Now, the other day I heard from a good guy on Facebook named Jason Patrick. And he said that he thoroughly enjoys my podcast, but he only sent me a top 3 list. And I said, well, Jason, why don't you send me another 7 and I can read it on the show? And so he did, and now here are Jason Patrick's top 10 things that he does not get. And it starts at number 10 with the TV show Parks and Recreation. And yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Jason. I never did watch that show. I might have watched part of one episode and never went back. But here's one that we kind of disagree on. At number 9, Jason does not get Donald Trump.
I don't know that name.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Here you've got Trump running as a Republican, but I don't know how many Republicans and conservatives I see just bashing the guy. And every day on Facebook, I see people saying he's an idiot, a clown, a phony. And I think, really? You think he's going to be worse than Obama or Hillary will be?
I don't know.
And after having lame-ass Republican candidates like Mitt Romney and McCain, seems to me like the guy's kind of been a breath of fresh air. I like that he's not afraid of anybody, including Hillary. I mean, Romney and McCain wouldn't even criticize the Democrats.
Yeah, how about that?
So, whatever. He may turn out to be a horrible president if he somehow wins, but, you know, I'm going to vote for him. I do not want a corrupt, radical socialist like Hillary Clinton in the White House. I'm sorry. And I'm also not going to waste my vote on an independent that has no chance of winning.
We don't need lectures from you, you creep.
Moving on with Jason Patrick's list, at number 8, Jason does not get Pauline Hanson.
Who?
Well, I don't know anything about Pauline Hanson other than that she's a politician in Australia. So, yeah, Jason, I'm with you on that. I do not get Pauline Hanson.
I never did.
At number 7, Jason does not get Asian pop music.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never really listened to much of it. Maybe I'll have to check that out sometime.
I don't think it's such a good idea.
At number 6, this is one that I can't agree with. Jason says he does not get Rammstein.
Brutal!
Well, to each his own, Jason, but I'll tell you what. I saw him this summer, and it was the best show I have ever seen in my life. They put on great live concerts, and I don't know, I just love their riffs. So I totally get Rammstein, but Jason does not. But at number 5, here's a surprise. Jason does not get Rush. Yeah, I can hear the prog nerds out there right now screaming their disapproval and disbelief. But here's the deal, Jason. Maybe I can clarify this for you. When you tell somebody that you're a big Rush fan or King's X fan or you love Dream Theater, it tells everyone out there that you are a highly intelligent person who knows more about music than they do. And it also allows you to say things like, oh, so you think you're a musician, huh? Well, guess what? Geddy Lee plays keyboards, sings, and plays bass with his feet all at the same time.
Geddy Lee!
Yeah, so anyway, that's the deal, Jason. Hope that helps.
Geddy Lee, best bass player ever. Come on.
At number 4 on Jason's list, he does not get Kanye West. And neither do I. And it's not that I hate all rap and hip-hop. I just hate him.
He's a haughty, arrogant, narcissistic piece of crap.
But that would bring us to number 3 on Jason's list, where he says he does not get anime movies and TV shows.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right there with you on that one, Jason. I know my daughter loves that stuff, and a lot of people do.
Absolutely.
But I am not one of them, and maybe it's just because I'm not smart enough.
Exactly.
At number two, Jason Patrick does not get rednecks.
Huh?
Well, there's a lot of those living here in Kansas City, and I'm friends with a lot of them. A lot of them are great dudes, and just about all of them are very proud of the fact that they are rednecks.
I heard that.
But to fully understand them, there's a few things you need to know. First of all, most of them have very bad taste in music.
Huh?
Second of all, you probably don't want to take any tips from them when it comes to fashion.
That's crazy!
But third and most important, you don't want to criticize them for either of those things because they will kick your ass.
Yep.
But that would bring us to number one on Jason's list. And he says the thing that he does not get the most is bronies. Yeah, apparently a brony is a guy who loves the TV show My Little Pony. And I don't really understand that myself. But I actually think there's another name that people call dudes that watch the show My Little Pony.
Gay?
I can't really think of what it is right now, but maybe it'll come to me later.
Gay.
But I gotta say, Jason, awesome list. And I've got a feeling we're gonna be seeing you in the playoffs come March. I think I'll do a concert review right now, because the other night, Lindsay and I went to see Avenged Sevenfold, Volbeat, Killswitch Engage, and Avatar. And the show was at an outside amphitheater right outside of Kansas City. And we were told it was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. And we got out there about 6:30, which I thought was plenty of time. But after you stand in line and go through the metal detectors, and then you go to another line where they give you a wristband, by the time we got in there, Avatar was on their next to last song. So they apparently went on early, and I pretty much missed their whole set. But I gotta say, they looked really cool. I think they're from Sweden or Denmark or somewhere like that. And the two songs that I heard them play were good, and I had a good time watching them. Next up was Killswitch Engage, and God, I've lost track of how many times I've seen them now. But I never get tired of seeing them because they've got great songs, they make great albums, and live, they're great. They've always got tons of energy, they're heavy as hell, and they just always put on a great show. They did do some stuff off their last album, but they also did some older favorites like My Curse, End of Heartache, and one of my favorite songs by them ever, Rose of Sharon.
Yeah!
Now, after Kill Switch, the sun had gone down, it was starting to get dark, and I was just standing there waiting for Volbeat. And as I've told you many times, invariably at these concerts, someone will just come up to me out of nowhere who I do not know, and they'll just start talking to me. And I always think at first, you know, maybe it's going to be somebody that recognizes me from Galactic or something, but no. This time, this guy just taps me on the shoulder. I turn around and he goes, "Hey, has anybody ever told you you look like the singer from Coheed and Cambria?" And I said, no, that's a new one. Never heard that. But I talked to him for a couple of minutes. He seemed like a nice guy. Unfortunately, he did not ask me if I had any pot. However, I don't think there was any shortage of pot or alcohol there that night, because after all, this is Kansas City I'm talking about.
Right.
And Kansas City loves them some Volbeat. And I know some of you are going to be old enough to remember this, but do you guys remember back in the 70s when you were at a concert and chicks would get up on guys' shoulders and flash their boobies?
Hell yeah!
Yeah, well, I kid you not, they still do that here in Kansas City. And it was like I was in some kind of time warp or something, and I was at Van Halen's first concert tour. And so there was a bunch of chicks flashing boobs, and of course you still got the redneck guys in the pit trying to mosh. But all I wanted to do was watch Volbeat and jam, and they were good. They're a really weird band. I like the way they take all the different styles and put them together. And one minute they'd be playing a Johnny Cash song, and the next minute they'd be thrashing out like they were Metallica. But there really wasn't anything in the way of a big stage show or anything. They just mainly rocked out, and that was fine with me. When Volbeat ended their set and walked off the stage, I heard one of the rednecks in the crowd go, "Yeah, now everyone's gonna leave. Everybody came to see Volbeat. Screw that last band that's gonna play."
Yeah!
Yeah, except no. From all appearances, no one left, because the place was absolutely packed out to see Avenged Sevenfold. And I hear a lot of people say that they don't like Avenged Sevenfold, and I've never really understood it. Because when I stood there and watched them, they've got influences from, Metallica, Pantera, Iron Maiden. And they are just such a good band. And a lot of you guys who like guitar virtuosos, and you don't think any of the new bands have any good guitar players anymore, well, you should check out some Avenged Sevenfold, because this guy, Sinister Gates, that's his name apparently, the dude just totally shreds. About halfway through Avenged Sevenfold's set, some guy in the pit got punched in the face, and I guess he just got knocked out. And the singer for Avenged saw this happen, and he just stopped the band in the middle of the song, and they ended up walking off the stage for about 10 or 15 minutes while this guy got help. But when they came back out, they just ripped right back into it, and they just played great. And Lindsay and I were right down front, and we just rocked out for about 4 or 5 hours and had a great time. So if you see this tour is coming anywhere near you, I say go. I give it a thumbs up. We had a blast. And that, my friends, is going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast.
I thought the thing was never going to end, to be perfectly honest.
I'm about to head down to Houston, Texas to start recording the new Galactic Cowboys album. And I cannot wait because I think it's going to be so much fun. And the record label that we signed with has pretty much told us to just go out and make the album that we want to make. No restrictions or expectations other than just be creative and make some great music. And that's really the way it should have always been for artists and musicians. But unfortunately, the music industry has traditionally been run by corporate entities that don't care about that kind of thing. And that's why so much of the music we've been force-fed over the years has sucked. And while I was dwelling on this particular subject, it reminded me of one of my favorite songs. It's by a band that was around in the 90s called Cold. And the name of the song is Kill the Music Industry. And I have never played this song on the Rockcast because it's got a ton of F-bombs in it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There's a couple.
No.
Yeah, there's a few.
No.
Okay, there's a whole bunch.
No.
I'm sorry.
No!
And I don't want to offend anybody who doesn't like that kind of language, but it's such a great song.
You are disgusting.
So I'm going to go ahead and play it, but if you're a person who doesn't like that kind of thing, or if there's children in the room, well, just turn this off.
You scum.
But if you're a person who can tolerate a few cuss words, or you're just a person who says them yourself, feel free to keep listening and rock out.
So go have fun,
and best wishes in hell.
Either way, everyone is welcome to contact me on my website, MontyColvin.net, or through Facebook. I will hopefully talk to you soon, but until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
It's over.